Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, voters in Senegal prepare for an election that, for a minute, looked like it might not happen.
She started crying, and she understood at the age of 37 that her vote mattered and that democracy shouldn't be taken for granted.
After delay and uncertainty, Senegal is set for presidential poll this Sunday. Some 7.3 million Senegalese are registered to vote. This year's election is touted as the most unpredictable.
What the vote means for this West African democracy. I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take.
I'm Nicholas Hawk. I'm the Al Jazeera correspondent for West Africa based out of Senegal, Dakar.
Okay, Nick, welcome back. What has the mood in the country been like just days before the presidential election? Because I know you've been out reporting, talking to people, taking the pulse.
It is quite an unusual election. There's both anticipation, like you would have in any election. There's an element of fear and unknown because this is the first election in the last 12 years where President Macky Sall is not in the running. So whoever comes to power will be someone new. And there's an element of excitement, especially amongst those young first-time voters. Just moments ago, I was speaking to a first-time voter that's actually in her 30s. Her name is Julia, and she was doing this TikTok video that she was posting on social media, trying to get other people to register and vote.
Go and get your electoral cards. You have until Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. All electoral commissioners, prefectures, and supermarkets. Your vote, elections.
And that's also the underlying fight here in this election, to get people's voices out. We went out when we followed her as she visited the school, the polling station. She wanted to make sure she got it right. She even got her outfit ready, Malika, for the event.
Wow.
Because it's such a big deal for her to get this right. This is an election like no other, and it is really important, especially for young people. And, you know, before the elections were delayed, there wasn't that much interest.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because Senegal's president, Macky Sall, postponed the presidential election back in February. It was scheduled to take place on February 25th, and that led to protests and lots more. How did that happen? How are we having an election this upcoming weekend?
Well, look, let's just backtrack to February 3rd. Hours before the campaign, suddenly the president of Senegal goes on national television and announces to the Senegalese people and to the world that the elections can't go ahead. He's invoked a decree canceling the elections altogether. And this just hours before the campaign was supposed to start. This election that was supposed to take place on February 25th, everybody thought that it was going to take place. I was looking forward to it. My birthday is on February 26th. So I was hoping that this vote was actually going to take place. And that was finally the moment that so many people were looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Elections are a moment, a ritual in Senegalese democracy mm-hmm. or Senegalese life that precedes even independence from France. People have been voting here for hundreds of years. And for someone to just rob that vote or rob that opportunity, that really shocked people.
Mm-hmm. Why did he postpone the elections in the first place?
Well, his argument was that the way the list of candidates were drawn, the process in which this was done was flawed. There is suspicion of corruption. Bribes allegedly were given by the ruling candidate himself, the candidate supported by President Macky Sall. Often, when we talk about elections, especially in Africa, we go back to this, oh, again, violence. Again, someone wants to stay in power. But the context in which this is happening couldn't be any different. It's a lot more complex than it appears. What we saw was not just peaceful protesters taking to the streets, but really police forces that were semi-militarized that had used lethal force on protesters that really provoked these riots. Of course, there was looting, but there was also a heavy-handedness from security forces. We saw goons, people that were wearing ski masks, that were armed, running around the streets of the capital and elsewhere, beating protesters, shooting live rounds. This is not usual.
So I want you to tell us about your reporting from last week in Dakar, when the scene looked a little like a victory party after the end of a football match. That's how you described it.
A rally like this outside Ousmane Sonko's house a couple of months ago would be impossible. The security forces would have prevented it. Now,
you were live on Al Jazeera as supporters gathered outside the home of Senegal's top opposition leader, Ousmane Sonko, who was released from jail on March 14th. He is not running in this election, but he has a favorite candidate he has told his supporters to vote for. So where does that stand, and what does it mean for the election?
What an electric and incredible moment. His release was really the turning point where the campaign started. Finally, there is a sense, not just from people who support him, but also people who don't support him, that this election can go ahead now, that there is a sense that democracy in Senegal is working. So the move by President Macky Sall to call for this amnesty law, although it was criticized for various reasons, really paved the way for actual dialogue and a more serene electoral process. It was so important to not only see Ousmane Sonko freed for the opposition, but also to see his candidate able to campaign in this election, because he too was freed when Ousmane Sonko was free. And I'm talking about Bassirou Diomaye Faye. This is an unusual campaign. It's only 2 weeks in length, and it's taking place during the holy month of Ramadan and Lent. And so there are so many issues to this campaign and this election.
Bassirou Diomaye Faye is running, along with almost 20 other candidates. But Nick says it really comes down to two distinct visions.
There are two standout candidates here. Bassirou Diomaye Faye from the opposition and Amadou Ba from the ruling party. But they both have something in common, Malika. They're both former taxmen. They worked for the local IRS, or the tax institution. Amadou Ba was Diomaye Faye's boss. They both know each other very well, but they couldn't be any different. The campaign of Amadou Ba, he's been running this campaign ad. It's this bus traveling through, going on a journey. And people on the bus are growing impatient. They're saying, oh, this driver's so slow. What is he doing? And then there's another person that comes out and says, we need to change the driver. Let's go out. And then in the process of trying to get to the driver's seat, the bus swerves. And suddenly you see Amadou Ba in the driver's seat, the ruling party candidate, reassuring everybody, saying, look, the road to peace and prosperity is long and slow. Senegal needs stability now more than ever.
Wow.
Amadou Ba's campaign, his vision, is not about change. It's about stability. And in his campaign, I've seen that he attracts a lot of women. There's a lot of mothers, too, that I see that are from the countryside, not from the city, that doesn't want to see violence, that doesn't want to see that want to see some form of stability. Now, Bassirou Diomaye Faye's campaign couldn't be any different. He's out there, and you see a lot of young men, and he's waving a broom, a traditional broom. And he says, I'm going to sweep this country clean of corruption.
Wow.
We're going to change the system. We're going to get rid of all this elite to ensure that you, young men in the crowd, will have a job. He has support of young women too, but you don't see them really in the rally. You see them on social media. His campaign of hope sounds familiar, right? His campaign of hope and change is something that attracts young voters. But behind him, there's Ousmane Sonko, of course, who is the reassuring figure. So two very different campaign visions or directions, but going towards a common destination of trying to move Senegal forward.
And the people of Senegal, especially the young people, are looking for change.
Despite a booming economy of 8.9% growth rate, people, droves of young people are leaving Senegal, going to Spain or to Europe to find work. Yesterday, I was speaking to a welder that had a state diploma in 2013 and still could not find work.
Oh, wow.
He's not voting in this election. He's preparing his trip to go to Spain because he knows as a mechanic, as a welder, he'll get work in Spain.
Living in Dakar, near the country's largest deep sea port, Nick says he sees this problem firsthand.
He lives in the port of Ndayan, where the largest deep sea port in Africa is being built. In that village, unprecedented numbers of young men are leaving the village. And I have a house just next door. I see them playing football on the beach, waiting around. I know them. This is really personal. I know who these young people are. These are people that are educated, that know multiple languages, that have degrees, that should be working in their country, that don't want to leave Senegal, but are forced to do so, they say.
But it's not just the economy now. It's preserving Senegal's democracy, Nick says.
The Senegalese people are going out to defend the country's right to vote. I mean, when I spoke to Julia, this first-time voter, she was telling me this moment, this pivotal moment that really marked people's minds. It's when we saw security forces force the opposition out to allow a vote to delay the election, and the bill went through.
And telling Nick this story, Julia started crying, he says.
There was a moment for many people that they understood that there's something that they need to protect. There's something that worked so beautifully well for years. And then suddenly, that was at stake. It's in these moments of crisis and pain that we realize and how grateful and how important it is that there is this breath of democracy in Senegal.
More after the break.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day, with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
A quick reminder before we get back to our show. If you're listening to The Take on Google Podcasts, starting April 2nd, the app will no longer be available. So find us on YouTube Music, Spotify, CastBox, or any other podcast platform. So, Nick, we're only a couple of days away. Let's play a game of choose your adventure here. Walk me through a few scenarios of Sunday's election outcome. What might happen?
So different scenarios here, Malika. We could have Amadou Ba winning through the first round, but the opposition putting into question the outcome. If Amadou Ba wins, I sense that there will be riots on the streets with members of the opposition and young people going out in anger saying that the credibility of the election is flawed. Now, the second scenario possible is that it's a tight race, and that Bassirou Diomaye Faye and Amadou Ba are so tight that there's another vote 2 weeks later where they will both compete to try to become the next president. That is perhaps the outcome that most people hope, so that to ensure that the electoral process, the credibility of the election, is not put into question. Mm-hmm. Or Bassirou Diomaye Faye wins in the first round, and then it's paving the way for something completely new. I think it would take everybody by surprise. He wants an overhaul of the system. He says he's a break from the past, that Senegal needs to renegotiate terms and contracts with France, a former colonial power. And the reason why this election is so important, this is something that people that are listening in need to remember, is because Senegal will be extracting, before the end of the year, unprecedented amount of liquefied natural gas. Meanwhile, many people in Senegal don't have electricity at home. So Bassirou Diomaye Faye wants to renegotiate those contracts to make it fairer and Senegalese first. But we have to remember the context in which this is happening. There is competing interests of foreign powers to see a certain outcome to this election.
The very last point of this choose your own adventure of what could happen that I wanted to talk about is what happens with Macky Sall. He is stepping down. He doesn't intend to stay on another day. That's what he's said on the record. So what happens for him next?
Well, yeah, so President Macky Sall says, look, I have no reason to apologize for what I was doing. I was actually to save democracy. But this feels like he kind of orchestrated, or his people have orchestrated, this scenario. I mean, he put in jail Ousmane Sonko. He would say the justice system did. He delayed the elections. He'd probably say, well, you know, it's because the electoral process was flawed. Those are decisions taken by him. On April 2nd, by the Constitution, his mandate is over. He has other ambitions, of course, but it's very tempting for his entourage, hoping that he would stay on because he's done some incredible work in his time in office. He's made healthcare free for women and for children, thus his popularity in the countryside. He has made huge infrastructure projects, trying to create a new airport. He created new roads. He's creating railways. He's doing big projects that are changing the landscape of this country. Where he's faulted, perhaps, is his inability to address and to bring employment to the young people. But we talk a lot about migration, of Senegalese people moving abroad to Europe, to the US, to try to find work. But Senegal is also a land of emigration in which West Africans come to find jobs. But come April 2nd, it's the end of him. Or if Amadou Ba wins, through Amadou Ba, the continuity of his legacy. I think at the end of his mandate, there's a feeling that he's trying to leave a legacy behind of a man that has brought wealth to this country. But for some, he's brought democracy to tatters.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Farinisa Campana and David Enders, with Chloe Kaylee, Miranda Lin, Zainab Bezer, Sonia Bagat, Sariel Khalili, Ashish Malhotra, Nagin Oliayi, Khalid Sultan, Amy Walters, and me, Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nay Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.